In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Farmers Market, Southwark. A paramedic runs to Ronnie and Joe, who are performing CPR on a young woman.
Stab her. It's fresh. She's lost a lot of blood already, though. We got her a couple of minutes ago.
It's okay. I'll take over.
Ronnie's hands are bloody.
Right, got it?
Sorry, I've got it off.
Carry on
CPR.
Right, you
okay?
Who called it in?
PCSO called Lenny. He's giving his statement to uniform now.
We'll tell him I want to see him once he's done.
All right, Socko's on the way.
What do we know about her?
Sally Carlo, 24 years old. She's carrying some sweets from the stalls here. Purse has got 40 quid in.
For that, she gets stabbed in broad daylight. What's happening?
We're going to put her in the ambulance now.
And how's she doing?
Well, she was already gone, but I'm going to pronounce it at the hospital.
Standing in the middle of the market, Ronnie looks stunned. Bradley Walsh as Senior Detective Sergeant Ronnie Brooks. Law. Ben Bailey-Smith as Younger Detective Sergeant Joe Hawkins. Sharon Small as Detective Inspector Elizabeth Flynn. Order. Dominic Rowan as Senior Crown Prosecutor Jacob Thorne. Georgia Taylor as Junior Crown Prosecutor Kate Barker. And Peter Davison as Director of the Crown Prosecution Service Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. Original series created by Dick Wolfe. This story, Repeat to Fade, teleplay by Richard Stokes. Joe's interviewing a young couple in the market.
We didn't see her get knifed, we just saw, like, this guy running away.
All right, what can you tell me about him?
Oh, he was at a distance, he was running.
Yeah, I mean, anything specific would be helpful.
He had a black leather jacket.
OK.
Were you blind? It was blue.
I ain't blind. Going out with you, aren't I?
Was it black or blue?
I'd say it was blue. I had, like, a red football shirt underneath.
OK. You see what team?
Arsenal.
Another witness.
He rode away in a red Piaggio scooter. It's beautiful.
Right, and this beautiful scooter, did you notice the registration?
No, but I can tell you it was a Typhoon 50cc Rosso.
What, you noticed all that, but you didn't see the reg? Anything else?
A white helmet. We had the green and the red stripe, like our flag. It's totally sexy.
Mortuary, Gower Street, with Oswald Spear.
It's a single penetration with a 3-inch blade, and the bruising suggests it went right up to the hilt, but there are no clear identification markings.
So, bag snatch, gone wrong, could all be a mistake.
No, putting your pants on back to front is a mistake, Joe. Is that the only wound, Oswald?
Yes, it went straight through the femoral artery. There's nothing anybody could have done. But there's so little tearing. Angle of entry suggests the attacker may have been, 5'4", 5'5".
So our killer could have been a woman.
Or even a kid.
MIU headquarters.
Here's what I don't get, right? Mm-hmm. How can that many witnesses see so many different things?
Well, because it all happens so fast, doesn't it? Don't forget, it takes a while to sink in. Then your suspect goes missing, and we're left talking to the Italian tourist board. Anyway, you need 18, 19 and 20, then you're around the clock.
CCTV is on its way in.
I'll track the red scooter across London, at least as far as I can.
Thank you, Kayla. Don't forget, full reg is the priority. Come on. Not bad. Hang on, Walt. It's the new gov. Turn that up, please.
Courage shown by the families affected by knife crime should be an inspiration to us all. Nothing can possibly replace...
When did she start?
Monday.
We only just cleared out the last of Wes's personal effects yesterday.
Is knife crime your priority, Detective Inspector Flynn?
Yes, absolutely.
So do you have any comment on today's Southwark stabbing? It's all over Twitter. Stabbing less than an hour ago. No arrests.
I don't know the details.
Ouch.
Of...
Mm. There you go. Bitten by her own sound bite. She's being a plonk and she knows it. Come
plonk.
On.
You mean plonker?
No, D.S. Hawkins, he means plonk. Person of little or no knowledge. It's what his generation called us Dorises before they realised that we had brains as well as tits.
Well, I was just saying...
Yeah, I know exactly what you were saying. And fighting knife crime, that's not just a soundbite, not for me. Joe? Could you nip downstairs and get the rest of the eyewitness reports? Oh, and when you're finished your game of darts, there's the murder of a young woman to solve.
Ash-blonde-haired Flynn walks off.
I like her.
Ronnie and Joe walk down a street.
I'm not having her accuse me of being a dinosaur.
I don't know if it's me you need to be telling, Ron.
Well, I'm not going to get another chance to make a first impression, am I?
Hey, Kayla. What you got? Yeah? All right, thanks. Owner of the scooter, Chadwick Estate.
Lovely.
Home of Thomas King.
Yeah? I ain't a red Piaggio. Or at least I did till about 8 o'clock this morning.
Right. What happened then?
I saw it had been nicked. Every night I chain it to the railings over there.
Did you report it?
Why would I? I used to report graffiti and vandalism to you people all the time and I got nothing back. Why are you so interested in my scooter now?
Because it was used during a fatal stabbing this morning.
How tall are you, Mr. King?
What's that got to do with anything? What, because I'm short, I'm more suspicious?
Well, tell you what, in this particular investigation, yeah.
Whoever you're looking for, it isn't me. Somebody stole my scooter and then dumped it when they were done with it.
So you know where it is?
Yeah.
And where is it, Mr. King?
It's on the other side of the estate.
Burnt out.
Nah, not going to get anything off of this now, Ron. Not even the VIN details.
No, in fact, Mr. King, how do you know for sure that it's your scooter?
Because it was my crush helmet that was lying next to it.
Ronnie and Joe are in Flynn's new office as she unpacks her things.
So he works the morning shift at a local caf. They've confirmed he was there.
And how's your evidence?
Well, it's mainly intact. I've asked Lily to come and do us a favour and she said yes, you're going to take some prints for that.
OK. Any news, you let me know. Just think of me as a third man in the team. Was that a problem?
No, not at all.
Good. I like to keep my hands dirty.
Kayla.
Track down Sally's next of kin. Dad Albert is downstairs and she has a son, Jack.
Ronnie's with Albert.
I need answers. We both do.
Yeah, of course, Mr. Carlo. We'll do our best to provide them.
How long had your daughter been in London?
Nearly 2 years. She came down here to teach art to kids.
This is probably just a random event, but I have to ask you if you know of anyone who'd want to hurt Sally or bear a grudge.
Oh. No, Jack's her world. She didn't have much time for anyone other than him and the kids at school.
Still, if we could get a list of all of her friends in the area, it might be helpful.
Well, someone must have seen something.
Well, we've got lots of eyewitness statements. We're working on it.
I need to know you'll get him. Whoever did this.
We will.
How do I tell him we've lost his mother?
Albert looks through the window in a door at blonde-haired Jack, who's about 6 and wears a blue anorak and glasses. Ronnie and Albert go into the room and sit with him.
Hello, Jack.
Hello.
My name's Ronnie. Pleased to meet you. And, I'm a policeman. Well, I don't wear a uniform. Anyway, I've been around a long time, you know, long, long time. Be like a dinosaur. Do I look old? Yeah. Well. And there are loads of things I don't understand in this world, you know. And one of those things is that sometimes bad things happen to good people. I can't explain it. But today, something very sad has happened. And,
Albert puts his hand on little Jack's back. Joe watches through the window. The charred crash helmet's in the forensics lab.
So the owner's prints are all over it, as you'd expect. I was worried that the fire damage would leave us with nothing else, but on the very edge of the rim, there is one partial thumbprint.
Any matches?
It's difficult to be certain with the partial, but I'll email over what I have.
Thanks for coming in, Lil.
No problem, Ron. For you, anything?
Joe and Ronnie are gazing at their computer screens in the office.
That's a struggle with a partial print here, Ron.
Ronnie calls up mugshots of a young man.
Here we go. Bobby Washington, 15 years of age. Minor offences,
including a bit of shoplifting and theft. Latest was for carrying a knife.
Yeah, I got it. He's registered to an address on the Chadwick Estate.
Yeah, well, that'll explain why he dumped the scooter so close to where he found it.
It's a big area, though, Ron. I mean, there's a lot of ways in and out. He could lose him easily. He should probably call for backup.
What, on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Well, West Ham and Arsenal both at home, you're having a laugh, ain't you? No. I promised that little boy last night that I would find whoever killed his mum, and I'm not hanging around now I know where this boy lives.
All right, let's do it, then. I'll tell the guv.
Whoa, no. Wait till we've got something, Joe. Right,
she said any news, let her know.
I know, but I don't want her breathing down our necks every step of the way. No. You and I, let's check this out.
All right.
Home of Bobby Washington, Chadwick Estate, E1. Joe pounds on the door of a flat in a high-rise block.
Hey, you must stop banging.
What?
Bobby Washington live here?
I do.
Yeah, well, we need to ask him a few questions.
What you don't need to ask little Bobby about?
Who's it, babe?
Jake's, innit? I want to speak to your boy.
Oh, well, we ain't seen him all morning, so leave us alone. You hearing me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you, but we're still going to need to ask him a few questions.
You ain't going nowhere without a warrant. Joe! Joe!
Out of the way!
Ronnie's seen Bobby, who runs.
Go, go, go! Come on, Joe!
Lean, athletic Joe's joined the chase and overtakes Ronnie. Ronnie lags behind as Joe chases Bobby down several flights of concrete stairs. Joe reaches the bottom of the final flight of stairs and looks around, but there's no sign of Bobby. Breathless, Ronnie reaches the bottom and gasps for air.
I didn't see which way he went.
Don't you dare say I told you so.
How the hell did a 15-year-old kid get past you in the first place?
Well, he just did. I mean, we're not happy about it, but it is what it is. Sorry.
And I told you to call me the minute you had something.
Well, you know what? With all due respect, Gov, we don't really need you looking over our shoulder. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a family I need to interview. Police!
Did he talk to D.O. Leighton like that?
Now, to be fair, he just wants the kid caught.
Yeah, so do I.
Bobby's flat.
Bobby does his own thing. We have no control over him anymore.
Right, and that's Bobby in the photo, yeah?
Yep.
And who's the girl?
Bobby's mum, Shonda, and her white boyfriend, Warren, look uncooperative.
Well, you know what? We can wait all day for an answer. No problem. Joe bung the kettle on. We're clearly staying.
Zaina is Big Ma's sister. What? Sooner we answer their dumb questions, sooner they can piss off.
That's my girl.
What do you care? You don't see her no more.
And where is she? Where is she?
She lives in Tooting with her boyfriend.
Home of Zaina Washington.
Yeah, well, I wish I had seen him. Knock some sense into his thick skull.
Why'd you say that?
Bobby was a good kid before Warren came along. He still could be.
Well, if we can speak to him, Zaina, we might be able to help him with that.
And Warren, he's your mum's boyfriend, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've met. He's a real charmer.
He gets Bobby to steal for him so he and Mum can stay at home and get wasted.
You know, Zaina, this is it's a little more serious than just petty theft. We want to speak to Bobby about a stabbing.
A woman was killed during a mugging.
Yeah, and what did Bobby do?
Well, he's the only person we're looking for. So you see why we need to find him.
Where have you been?
A young man.
Jamal, I needed a car for work.
Went to Liverpool Street.
Why'd you go there?
Yeah, Jamal. Why did you go there?
I was doing your brother a favour.
Liverpool Street Station, E1.
He's got family in Royden, and the next train leaves in about 7 minutes, so look lively. Split them up, Joe.
Two up, two down. You two straight across.
Right, cop. That's a needle in a haystack there, isn't it?
They look at the station concourse.
No chance.
Right there.
Where?
Middle seat, on the bench.
Oh, yeah. Right. Got him. Okay, guys, he is opposite platform 9 and 10. So it's platform 9 and 10. Okay, Joe's on the way.
Bobby runs.
Suspect's on the move. On foot, headed towards the main exit. Police down the way! Escalator at the top!
Bobby runs up an escalator but finds Joe's already at the top. Bobby turns and runs down the escalator, and Ronnie grabs him by the anorak.
Not this time, Bobby, son. Come with me.
Outside.
Nobody trusts me.
Great.
You know what I'm saying?
Do me a favor, Bobby. Play the game.
Yeah? You just want a couple quick feel, innit? Especially you, Grandad.
Oh, really? We just want to see if you're carrying anything. That's all, Bobby.
Yeah? Well, no feds are going to violate my personal space without my say-so, innit? You know what I'm saying?
Tough guy gangster, but I'm seeing silly little boy.
Shut up, old man.
Is that all? That's your best shot, is it?
Man, why are you giving me so much grief? Who died?
Hey, don't say or do anything stupid, Bobby. We are going to search you, and then we are going to arrest you. And it's not going to end any other way.
Screw you.
Turn around.
We're looking for a murder weapon, so forgive us for not taking any risks. Just let us search or something.
Is this all you want to see? I told you I ain't carrying.
Bobby's dropped his trousers. An interview room.
I don't know no Sally.
Well, of course you don't know Sally. You chose her at random to steal her purse. When she fought back, you panicked and you stabbed her.
I don't panic. I didn't stab no one.
Well, you know what, son? Sally is dead. She leaves behind a six-year-old son who's got to deal with that loss for the rest of his life. Now, please, don't give us any more pain. Just admit what you've done.
My client doesn't have to admit to anything.
Bobby. Come on, son. What do you say?
Bobby, who has a stud in each ear, looks thoughtful.
You know how old people smell of biscuits? Well, that's you. You smell old.
Bobby, we have a print on the crash helmet. It's not going to be long before we have you on CCTV as well.
We don't have the footage yet. And about that print?
Contaminated? How?
Talk to your forensic team. Something about smoke damage and clarity of image.
This is not a shoplifter who needs a slap in the wrist, Namita. He's under arrest for murder.
An illegal arrest, by the way.
You are kidding. He ran away from us twice when we cornered him, and now you're going to try and get him off on a technicality?
The Police and Criminal Evidence Act is not a technicality, detective.
OK, what does she mean? What happened?
Nothing happened. This is just a tactic, pure and simple.
Police is there to stop you taking advantage of vulnerable people.
Vulnerable? This is a boy who stabbed someone in a broad daylight.
It was a public place, and he dropped his trousers because you bullied him.
We were making an arrest.
You know what, Gov? This would be funny if it wasn't so ridiculous. Have you seen him? He wears his trousers halfway down his backside for a kickoff.
OK, I've heard enough.
The search was illegal. You've no evidence with which to hold my client.
Flynn lowers her head.
You can't be considering letting him go, surely.
If the print isn't holding up, we haven't got enough.
Thank you.
The solicitor, Namita, walks out.
Right, keep him here. The reason doesn't matter. We need more time.
The reason doesn't matter? What century are you working in? This is happening, Ronnie. Deal with it.
Ronnie's staring at photographs and documents on the evidence board in the office. Bobby walks by behind Namita and stops to stare at Ronnie and give him the finger. Ronnie raises his glasses to his forehead and watches Bobby walk to the exit, still making the rude gesture at him. Outside Zayna's, Ronnie's with Jamal while Joe searches his car.
Look, Bobby asked for a lift and that's what I gave him.
And you didn't ask why?
You've seen his stepdad. Bobby wants to stay somewhere else for a while, I can understand that.
All right, listen, while she was in the car, he didn't say anything at all or ask you to do anything for him, take him anywhere?
No.
Nothing in here, Ron.
Look, if that's everything, man, I have work.
Oh, you've got work? Well, that's interesting, because I've seen forms there that you're claiming council tax benefits. I mean, if the authorities find out you've got a job and they're spending money on you for no good reason, I mean, it's our duty to report that stuff, eh?
Come on, we don't earn enough to cover food and rent as it is.
You could be evicted.
You can't do that.
Why not? Go and cozy up at Zayna's mum's house.
She can't go back there. The reason Zayna got her own place is because of Warren. She can't go back there, OK?
Well, you know what, Jamal? You're going to have to help us out.
Jamal, how much do you love Zayna? Because she's going to want you to do the right thing for her brother, isn't she?
Jamal sighs.
Look, all I know is that we stopped at a cash point on the way. Bobby jumped out and ran behind the bins to take a leak. That's all I know, I swear.
At the supermarket bin store, uniformed officers are searching the bins and dumpsters, and one of them finds a large knife.
Sir?
Oh, all right, guys. We got it. We're good. We're good.
Thank you. Oh, Jamal. That is one hell of a leak.
Youths play football.
Put
Okay, I want everyone searched. Don't want anyone getting hurt.
Oh, this is harassment, man.
Do you know what, Bobby, son? We haven't even started yet.
Anyone caught with a blade gets arrested and sent back to the station for processing.
I'm not. No one wants you here.
This isn't going away, son. What did you just say?
We good, bro?
Do you know what? I couldn't be better. My man has just confessed.
You what?
Do you want to tell Detective Hawkins what you just said to me? No, didn't think so. Wrap it up, boys. We're done here.
The confession's uncorroborated. My client says it never happened.
Really? Is that right, Bobby? Calling me a liar?
Don't answer that. You turned up mob-handed in staff vests. Four of you in uniform to intimidate a bunch of teenagers playing football.
One of whom is a murder suspect. And two others were caught carrying knives.
And exactly what evidence is it that's led you to pursue my client as a murder suspect?
Well, the fact that he told me he did it in the first place, that's a pretty good start, wouldn't you say?
He's lame.
So what did you say to D.S. Brooks then, Bobby? Because I saw you say something.
Bobby's eyes dart around the room furtively, and Ronnie watches him closely from across the table.
I told him he was too hot to catch me if I ran.
Ronnie looks round at Joe.
I never admit to no murder.
Later, Ronnie and Joe are in the observation room with Flynn and Kate.
Did you hear this confession?
No.
Bobby said the white bitch deserved it.
And what did you say to him?
Well, to be fair, Ronnie didn't have time to say anything.
He just came out with it.
See, to a jury, that's going to seem a bit convenient. Suddenly he admits to a stabbing out of the blue.
Well, no offence, Kate, but we're not dealing with a criminal mastermind here. Bobby is just a gobby teenager, that's it.
Well, it doesn't matter. If a jury doesn't believe you, we have no prosecution.
But why wouldn't they believe me?
Ronnie, we trust you, obviously. But in a your word versus theirs argument, not everybody believes the police officer. Not anymore. It would really help if you had some forensic evidence.
At the forensics lab, the knife lies on an illuminated white tablet.
It's clean, no print.
What, none at all?
And none of the victim's DNA on the blade or on the handle. So if this is the murder weapon, I can't prove it forensically.
So we got nothing?
Again.
Wait, what are these? Here.
Well, I assumed they were wear and tear.
I'm sure I've seen markings like these on a knife used in a gang stabbing a couple years ago.
Well, that may be worth digging a bit deeper. Is Bobby Washington in a gang?
Well, not according to Crimin.
Okay, well, I'll get the scratches checked out, but as things stand at the moment, I can't give evidence that this is the knife that killed Sally.
I swear this used to be a little bit easier.
We'll have to release him. I also need to give an update to Borough Commander Stone.
Well, good luck with that.
What makes you think I'm going on my own?
Ronnie, Joe and Flynn are in the Borough Commander's office.
How do we not have this man in custody yet? No. Let me change that question.
Because you already have had him in custody. Twice.
Each time the evidence fell apart at the last minute.
Fell apart. Is that what you'd like to say to the press?
A headline, getting away with murder.
Because they want to know why our streets are no longer safe. They want to know how a 15-year-old scroat is running rings around the finest offices that London can put out on the street.
Because, sir, this 15-year-old scroat has one of the best duty solicitors on his side.
We know it's him, so we just need more evidence.
Oh, really? And how do you know?
He confessed, sir.
You have a confession?
Only Detective Brooks heard it.
And his word isn't good enough?
With respect, sir, that's not the point. It won't work for the prosecution on its own.
What happened to the knife?
It's clean of the suspect's DNA.
And the eyewitness reports?
They're still coming in, but you know as well as I do. When a suspect is wearing a motorcycle helmet and gloves, we can't even secure an ethnic identification.
So how is this kid your prime suspect?
Because this is not our first time. Sir. The circumstantial was enough to pursue Bobby Washington, and it still is.
Excuse us.
Ronnie and Joe go, leaving Flynn alone in the office with dark-haired, uniformed Commander Stone, who stands up, his hands in his pockets.
Okay. You're doing all you can, I can see that. But this is your first week and we're already a laughingstock. We're meant to be clearing the streets of knife crime.
I know. And we will.
Your team giving you enough support?
Yes, absolutely.
Because if you need to get rid of some dead wood, you'll have my approval.
No, we're fine. Thank you, sir.
I know you, Liz. I love your loyalty, but seriously, Divisional Intelligence have an opening if you need to give someone a promotion. Get them out of harm's way.
Like you did with me.
Flynn comes downstairs to Ronnie and Joe waiting on a landing.
Thank you for that.
Let's be very clear. I defended you for the team because I don't want anyone thinking that I am running a unit that can't put a case together.
Well, we don't want anyone thinking that, do we?
I don't know what your problem is here, Brooks.
With respect, Gov, we can put a case together. We just need more time.
Good, because I am not doing that again.
Joe and Ronnie are in the forensics lab with Lily.
You were onto something with the scratches on the knife handle, Joe. It seems all members of certain gangs would use the same markings, like a badge of honour.
Yeah, they stopped when they realised we were using it to identify them. Muppets.
All right, and how does that help us, though, Lily?
So, the rough edge of scratched plastic is almost impossible to wash clean. It picks up trace materials which become ingrained, like skin, grime, dirt.
Can you link that to Bobby?
The DNA I found is older than the crime you're trying to solve, Ron. Much older.
So whose DNA is it, then?
Bobby's mum, Shonda.
Back in the office.
How can we arrest his mum? The forensic evidence doesn't relate to the crime.
Well, but she don't know that, though, does she?
So bring her in anyway.
Yeah. And put her maternal instincts to the test.
At Bobby's flat, Warren opens the front door to find Joe and Ronnie.
Oh, man, you lot bored yet?
Bobby, Jake's here.
It's not Bobby we've come to see.
Shonda's behind him.
Shonda Washington, I'm arresting you on suspicion of the murder of Sally Carla.
What?
You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defense
if
you do not mention when questioned.
I didn't do
something
anything.
You later rely on in court. Anything you do
I
say may be given as evidence.
Kate and Jacob are in Flynn's office.
It's a stretch, to say the very least.
And you don't want it getting out that Ronnie and Joe made an arrest with insufficient evidence.
But what if Shonda admits that she gave the knife to Bobby? And that he had it that morning. Isn't that enough?
Well, by the sounds of it, she's all over the place. The jury's gonna have a hard time believing anything she says.
Let alone a tenuous connection between a suspect and a murder weapon.
And how are they gonna convince a mom to grass on her own son? All she has to do is stay quiet.
Well, we're just gonna have to trust Ronnie.
By the stairs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Solicitors here. They're ready for us.
Let them wait.
What?
You know what, Joe? Time's our friend here. I reckon another 10 minutes should do it. She wants a drink. I know I do.
In the interview room, Joe lays down photographs of the handle of the knife.
So, how does a 15-year-old boy get hold of a gang-marked knife?
A lot of gangs in London.
But this particular knife has got your DNA all over it.
So how did it end up behind a supermarket on the way to Liverpool Street Station? Bobby nick it off you?
Maybe it was a Christmas present. Show him how much you care.
Her head bowed. Shonda's eyes peer up at Ronnie. Ronnie sits back and loosens his tie, then leans forward and picks up a clear plastic cup of water. Ronnie looks at Shonda across the table and licks his lips.
Expensive habit, isn't it? Yeah.
He takes a sip of the water.
I mean, even the cheap stuff costs an awful lot when you put away as much as we do. But when you start on the hard stuff, like the really good gin or the vodka, well...
He has another drink, and she rubs her hands, looking agitated.
I mean, how can you afford that on the social? Gotta be some extra money coming in from somewhere, Shonda. Because I know you would do anything for your next drink. Hey. wouldn't you? Like, well, like having loved ones steal for you. And Bobby, he's your little soldier. He still loves his mum, bless him. And he'd do anything you ask. But this time, well, he's gone too far, hasn't he? So, you tell us where Bobby got this knife from, and you can walk out that door. Go anywhere you want.
Shonda looks tense and almost in pain as she watches Ronnie take another drink of water. She sits in a tight ball, her hands clutched together. Bobby and a couple of his mates, all in scruffy school uniform, walk along the estate as Ronnie, Joe, and two uniformed officers approach.
Look, look, it's the feds, I was telling you, right? They can't leave me alone. You see that old one? He loves me.
Funny guy.
Bobby Washington? I'm arresting you on suspicion of the murder of Sally Carlo.
You can't do that.
Do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not question something you may rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given as evidence.
However,
Bobby's grabbed.
Get off me.
So, the alcoholic mother will give evidence against her own son.
We need to see how she holds it together in the witness box, but yes.
Will the jury believe her?
Well, it's the one absolute link between Bobby, the murder weapon, and the victim.
And that doesn't play. What are we left with?
The confession.
Which no one but D.S. Brooks heard, and which Bobby denies.
Am I the only one taking Ronnie at his word on this?
You're the only prosecutor these days taking any police officer at their word.
He will be under oath.
It's still a tough ask to get the case home. And if the jury doubt Ronnie, the whole trial collapses.
Jacob questions Shonda, who's in the witness box.
How did Bobby's father die? His biological father?
He was stabbed.
By whom?
He was a member of the Tottenham crew. We both were. And they killed him because he disabused the rules.
And what rules were they?
Shonda hangs her head and glances over at Bobby, sitting impassively in the dark.
It was expected for girlfriends to be shared around.
Shared for what?
Sex.
Jamal has his arm around Zana and kisses her on the side of the head.
The rules were that they could have us whenever they wanted us. Carl said no, and they killed him for it.
The official report says that after Carl was stabbed, his girlfriend picked up his knife and used it to defend herself. That would be you. Now, this was his gang-marked knife, identified by two parallel scratches on the handle.
Shonda nods faintly.
And what happened to that knife?
Bobby's solicitor is watching in the public gallery. Shonda looks over at Bobby.
I was so scared that night. More scared than I'd ever been in my life. And I didn't want my son to go through that. Not ever. So on his 13th birthday, I gave Bobby his dad's knife to protect himself so that he could never feel as scared as I was.
The knife is shown to the court as Bobby's barrister questions Lily.
This is the alleged murder weapon, which contains within the aforementioned scratches on the plastic handle, DNA linking it to my client. Is that correct?
Well, no.
Oh, that's right. Forgive me. The DNA found on the handle of that knife doesn't belong to the defendant at all, does it?
A little less of the theatrics, Mr. Greer.
My lord. Miss Townsend, can you say with absolute certainty that this is the murder weapon that was used on Sally Carlo?
Not with absolute certainty. No.
Jacob and Ronnie come out of court with a couple of takeout coffees.
Well, it's not the answer we wanted to hear, but it's not a surprise. To be honest, if he hadn't gone there, I'd have been disappointed.
Yeah, well, it would be nice for him to slip up, wouldn't it, just this once?
Greer doesn't make those kind of mistakes.
Well, neither do I, Jake. Bobby confessed, I'm telling you.
I believe you. But the jury in there have all read about Hillsborough, Leveson, Plebgate. Those officers have undermined your credibility.
Well, I'd like to string them up. I really would. Every last one of them. Well, you wouldn't. Any of your mates brought the legal system crashing down around you?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Bobby's barrister questions Ronnie.
How many years' experience have you had in the force?
37.
And do you think you've developed the skill of assessing or recognising patterns of criminal behaviour?
Yes, I suppose.
So, an officer with this skill would see a suspect on the street and make an assessment in the moment?
Yes. Taking everything into account.
Whether he's in a hoodie or a wig and a gown, for example.
Well, it's not just about what they wear, and I've known one or two crooks to wear a wig and a gown.
Indeed. You must also take into account context. Local area. Colour of their skin.
I fail to see what this has to do with the defence of Bobby Washington.
It is indicative of character, my lord.
What's your question?
Were you in active service in the summer of 1985, during the London race riots?
Yes, I was in uniform.
Did you read the McPherson report?
No, not all of it.
But you are aware of the section which relates to the force in London during that time suffering from institutional racism.
And again, my lord.
I'm just asking the jury to do with Detective Brooks what he does when assessing a suspect. Put his whole character in context.
Still don't hear a question.
When you saw my client, did you not make the assumption he was a criminal because of how he looked?
No. We arrested Bobby Washington because we thought we had the necessary evidence.
Which you did not. Which leads me to the question. Why did you repeatedly arrest my client? Was it not because he fitted a certain profile? A certain racial profile?
No. His ethnic background had nothing to do with it.
So you don't suffer from institutional racism?
No.
Not that you would admit it, even if you did.
Well, you'll have to take my word for that.
Joe looks round at Flynn.
Like the confession. Forgive me. Perhaps you just fit a certain profile.
Jury will disregard that last remark.
The barristers and judge.
With one uncorroborated confession and no forensic evidence against my client, I've submitted there's no case to answer.
Nothing has changed since the trial began.
The prosecution is anchored in this confession. I have to say, having read the arguments, I'm finding it hard to justify carrying on.
D.S. Brooks is a sworn police officer of nearly 40 years standing.
He has a partner who will not testify on his behalf.
Because he didn't hear him.
Okay. Stop the mudslinging. All the evidence is circumstantial. There's not enough here to proceed. Which is why I'm granting a half-time dismissal.
Zainab, Jamal and Bobby come out into the foyer, and Bobby looks round at Ronnie and Joe. Albert comes over to Ronnie and Joe.
That's it? He just walks away.
Well, look, Albert, I am so sorry.
Just can't believe. The shit who killed my daughter's allowed to walk free, and you... You did your very best.
Ronnie and Joe watch Albert walk away, head bowed.
Don't take it personally, what?
How can I not? I promised his grandson, didn't I? Now even he thinks I'm a liar.
Kate and Jacob.
But to just dismiss it like that is outrageous. When we get back to the office, I'll see if we can lodge an appeal.
Won't make any difference. Any new judge will be swayed by Lockwood's decision. And be honest, we're pushing our luck with the evidence we have.
Ronnie doesn't deserve to be branded a racist, though, even if it was only implied.
I'll tell you what else he shouldn't be branded as. The scapegoat.
Is Detective Brooks a racist?
Absolutely not. We had a suspect and we pursued them vigorously.
The case has collapsed. Surely someone must be held responsible.
Flynn sees Ronnie walk by and Stone steps forward.
This is a bad day for justice and we need to take a good hard look at how our officers deal with these types of cases. Thank you.
Stone and Flynn walk back into the court together. At headquarters, Flynn sees Ronnie in a corridor.
That'd be great.
Ronnie?
Gov, these are the latest statements. Came in this afternoon. There's bound to be something in here.
I need you to see something.
Yeah, Gov, sorry. All due respect, I'd need to be getting on with this.
Don't make me pull rank.
Holding an armful of folders, Ronnie follows Flynn into her office. She closes the door, sits at her desk, and bids Ronnie to sit down.
Borough Commander Stone wants you to take a look at this.
Yeah, no problem.
She hands him a document, which he reads.
It's based in Hackney, so less of a commute for you. Better hours. You can be home every night by 6.
Stony-faced Ronnie rereads the document.
Divisional intelligence.
He looks across at Flynn, who looks uncomfortable.
This'll take me off the street.
He stands up and hands the document back.
So, I'm the sacrifice. After nearly 40 years. I think I deserve better than that, don't you?
Stone wants you to think about it overnight, and I need to give him an answer by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Tight-lipped, Ronnie nods, then turns and walks out of the office. Flynn licks her lips tensely and looks down. Sitting at their desks, Ronnie and Joe are patiently reading through the stack of files and paperwork. The evening draws on, and Joe hands one of the files to Ronnie, then gets on the phone. Flynn comes into the office with a couple of pizzas for them. Later, Joe closes a file while Ronnie plays darts.
All right. You know, I've read this statement 3 times already and I still can't remember anything in it.
Time to call it a night, mate.
Well, we can't call it a night.
Run. I'm not seeing anything new here.
Well, you know what? We've missed something. We've got to keep looking. I don't know. Have a cup of tea, take a break, just give your brain a rest.
All right.
Yeah.
What number you on?
6.
6?
Yes. Oh, straight in. Look at that. In it goes. Yes, get in, Ron. Fantastic.
Ronnie takes his dart out of bed 6, then pauses thoughtfully at bed 7. He ponders as he stares at the wire number. He pulls out his dart and Joe watches him.
Ron? You all right?
Ronnie strides back to the desks and puts on his glasses. He flicks through some papers while Joe takes a swig from his large mug. Ronnie pulls out a document and reads it carefully.
Yeah, come on, Joe, follow me, quick.
Her voice when you rang. Thought lives were at stake.
They are, Kayla, love, they are. There you go.
Bloody hell.
Well done, love, thank you very much.
He shows a file to Flynn.
When we arrested Bobby Washington at Liverpool Street Station, he was wearing that.
Yeah, plain red football shirt, generic logo.
However, this eyewitness clearly states on the day of the stabbing, he was wearing a red football shirt with a gold number 7 on the front.
There's another shirt.
At Zaina's, Joe's found the number 7 football shirt.
Now, I think that is blood. Washed out, but still there.
Bag it up. Bobby came round here Saturday morning, didn't he, Jamal? And you washed that knife for him.
What were you thinking?
I was trying to protect him. I did it for you.
Well, you know why most criminals get caught?
Bobby looks at Ronnie.
Because they're even more stupid than we are. Seriously, why keep a bloodstained shirt?
Ronnie turns for the door.
My dad bought it for me.
Ronnie stops and turns back.
My real dad.
Zaina looks emotional.
It's the only thing I got left of him.
Zaina rubs Bobby's short afro hair. 2 uniformed officers come in, pull Bobby and Jamal to their feet and handcuff them both. Flynn's waiting outside the flats as Ronnie comes out, followed by Bobby, escorted by a uniformed officer.
Bobby, what did you say to Detective Brooks?
Told him the white bitch deserved it.
The officer puts Bobby into a squad car and Flynn looks over at Ronnie, who smiles stoically as he buttons up his raincoat. Joe comes out of the flats and the three of them walk away together. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. Audio description by Deluxe.